The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 9, Text Number 52, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarsanda Satkikari, recorded on January 11th, 2011, in Auckland, New Zealand.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 52. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Prahrada Bhadra Bhadram Te Prita Aham Te Asura Uttama Varam Vrnishva Abhimatam Kamapura Asmi Aham Nrinam Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Prada Badrang Badrang Te Pita hante sarottama varam rishnish vabhavitna vrnishvabhimatam varam rishnish vabhimatam kamapuros myahangrinam shri bhagavan uvacha Prahlada Badrang Badrang Te Pritohang Te Sarottama Varang Vranishva Vimatang Kamo Puros Myahang Rinam Shri Bhagavan Uvacha The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Prahlada, O my dear Prahlad, Bhadra, you were so gentle. Bhadram, all good fortune. Te, unto you. Prita, pleased. Aham, I am. Te, unto you, Asura Uttama, O best in the family of Asuras, atheists, Varam, benediction, Ranishva, just ask from me, Abhimatam, desired, Kamapura, who fulfills everyone's desire. Asmi, am, aham, I, nrinam, of all men. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Prahlad, most gentle one, the best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhakta Vatsal, the Supreme Personality, who is very much affectionate to His devotees. It is not very extraordinary that the Lord offered His devotee all benedictions. The Supreme Personality of God had said, in effect, I fulfill the desires of everyone. Since you are my devotee, whatever you want for yourself will naturally be given, but if you pray for anything else, that prayer will also be fulfilled. Thus, if we approach the Supreme Lord or his devotee, or if we are blessed by a devotee, naturally we will achieve the benedictions of the Supreme Lord. Yasha prasada bhagavat prasada. Srila Vishwanath course says that if one pleases the Vaishnava spiritual master, all of one's desires will be fulfilled. Wow. It's pretty powerful. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Bada Kamala Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathan Vita Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Zabadutam Pradijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakonvitamscha. Well, this is the secret for success. This is a very, very powerful statement. If one pleases the Vaishnava spiritual master, all of one's desires will be fulfilled. So do we have to do a yajna for prosperity? No. All we have to do is please the spiritual master. And then everything required to live comfortably and happily in this world and to go back to home by Nagana, it'll all come automatically. This is the secret of success. Simply, we have to please the spiritual master. You can have all varieties of material success, even to the point of becoming Brahmanji, the demigod in charge of the whole material world, but if you're not pleasing your spiritual master. Shama eva hi kevalam is simply a useless waste of time. So if somehow we can please our beloved spiritual master, do things that he wants us to do. And how do you please him? What are his instructions? That's all. What are the instructions that Prabhupada has given? If we simply follow those instructions of Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters, you see, then everything will come. Every single desire will be fulfilled. You may say, well, how is that possible? I desire this, that. Well, one thing is, when you're fully pleasing your spiritual master, you won't have any material desires. That's one thing. Material desire means I have a desire separate from pleasing my spiritual master. Material desire. This doesn't say all I have to do is get Prabhupada to smile at me, you know, and I'll win the lottery and I'll have a Rolls Royce. It's not saying that. If one fully pleases the Vaishnava spiritual master, is completely, then Whatever you actually desire will be a pure desire in Krishna's service, and that will come. That will come. So, desire is there. You cannot kill desire. The Buddhist philosophy is to kill desire, but that's not practical. They're desiring to kill desire. You see the contradiction? Yes, I desire to become desireless. But that's counterproductive. You're desiring, you're maintaining desire in the name of desirelessness. It doesn't work. If you want actual liberation, if you want actual emancipation from the pinching and tangling effects of the three modes of material nature, then you have to take desire, you have to purify it. Sometimes people ask me, how can I get rid of my material desires? I tell them it's not difficult. All you have to do is stuff your heart full with spiritual desires. It's all you have to do. Simple thing. You have to cultivate spiritual desires, you see. If you find the weeds keep trying to sneak into your garden and get a foothold there, just fill every square inch of your garden with flowers, you see. So there's no room for the weeds. When the weeds try to come, they'll be, you know, when the weeds come to the hotel of your heart, there will be a sign there, no vacancy. You understand? So simply we have to, in this way, follow the pathway of the great acharyas and understand what are the desires of pure devotees? What kind of desires am I supposed to have? Prabhupada, it's all in Prabhupada's books. Everything we need to know is in Prabhupada's books. So what kind of desires does a devotee have? Well, one thing is described in Prabhupada's Bhagavatam purport. He says a Krishna conscious being, and that's supposed to be us, right? We are the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That means the members are supposed to be Krishna conscious, right? Right, obviously. So, Prabhupada says a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Well, how much do we do that? We have to honestly look at ourselves. Well, I get up every morning and think, what can I do to save the fallen souls today? Is that the first thing that comes to our brain? I have to do something to save these people. Is that how we wake up in the morning? We're absorbed. Prabhupada says he's always thinking this way. That means 24 hours a day. A Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to Godhead. How much do we simply think of our own comforts and not think of delivering the fallen souls? We have to be honest. I don't want to point any fingers at anyone. But we should, each one of us, look in our own hearts and see what's the caliber of my Krishna consciousness. Am I constantly thinking of doing everything I can to save the poor conditioned souls on this planet? Or am I just thinking of my own eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? We have to be honest with ourselves. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that wonderful, great Bhaktivinoda Thakur, wrote the most beautiful, wonderful song to help us come out of our attachment to material sense gratification. So wonderfully wrote in his song, Kabbe Habbe Bolo Se Di Mama, he said, When will I give up the thoughts of my own comforts and simply think about saving the fallen souls? When will that day come when I finally set out to preach your mission and give up thoughts of my own comforts? And then he's saying, when will that day be mine? He's not saying I'm there now. He's saying I hope someday I can come to that position. Kabe habe bolo se dinamar. When, oh, when will that day be mine? When I forget myself comforting and simply think of delivering the fallen conditioned souls. So he's praying for that day. He's hankering. Even though he's, of course, he has that desire, but he's presenting himself in our position. You see, now we don't have that desire. We're thinking of our own comforts, my eating, my sleeping, my mating, my defending. That's what we're thinking about. So he's very mercifully putting himself in our position and showing us how we should be thinking, how we should be desiring. At the present moment, we don't have that desire to save the fallen conditioned souls. We're just thinking of our own comfort. So if we don't have that desire, then at least we can desire to have the desire. You see, that's what he's showing us in this song. He's desiring, when will that day come when I actually have that desire to save the fallen souls, and I'm not simply thinking of my own sense gratification. So at least we can do that. And if we can't desire to have the desire, we can desire to desire to have the desire. And if we can't desire to desire to have the desire, we can desire to have the desire to have the desire to have the desire. And if we can't do that, we can desire to have the desire to have the desire to have the desire to have the desire in this way. You see? Somehow or other, come to a position where you can come out of this sense gratification mentality. That's what we have to do. We have to somehow come to a position where you can come out of this sense gratification mentality. To where we're more interested in attending Mangalarti than we are in sleeping, you see. One time in Mexico City, there was a late night program and no one came to Mangalarti. And Prabhupada was furious. In that Bhagavatam class, he was one thunderbolt after another. He was just thunderbolts. It was like a heavy storm, a Prabhupada storm, Prabhupada thunderbolt storm, that Bhagavatam class. Devotees were shaking. It was so heavy. Shaking. And then, after the class was over, our godbrother, Chittukananda Prabhu, he said he was always... He always was like Prabhupada's little puppy dog. He would just follow Prabhupada around like a puppy dog wherever Prabhupada would go. So anyway, Prabhupada walked out of the temple room after this heaviest clash. I wish it had been taped, but I don't think it was. I wish I could have heard that class. But anyway, he walked out of the temple room after this heavy, heavy thunderbolt Bhagavatam class. Prabhupada was raging like Nisringa, you know. And there was some flowers growing. Mexico's, the nice flowers growing near. It's more like a tropical climate there, Mexico. So there's some flowers growing naturally there by the door. He picked a flower and gave it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, in a very calm, sweet, peaceful way, just relished that flower. You see, he was like Shingadev, and Chittukananda was amazed. He said, Srila Prabhupada, you're so angry and now you're so calm and peaceful. How is it, Prabhupada? Immediately you can change moods like that. He was amazed to see. He like, in one minute he was like this, and then another minute he was completely a different person. He was amazed. How is it, Srila Prabhupada? He said, actually, I'm never angry with you. You're my beloved disciples. I'm never angry with you. But I have to make that show of anger in order to train you. You see. So in this way, we got a very good lesson how much important it was that we should come to the Mangalarti ceremony. I remember when I was in our Atlanta temple many years ago, a huge epidemic hit us. We never knew where it came from. There was a festival out at the farm. We had a farm there, it's still there, the Murari farm, Murari Sevak farm. Devotees came back from that festival and practically half the temple came down with hepatitis. It was heavy. It wasn't his C, luckily. It wasn't hepatitis C, which can be fatal gradually. And then the one half got covered, the other half came down with it. I mean, it was so heavy, we had to stop the sankirtan. We didn't want the local health authorities to know. They would quarantine the temple completely and no one could come to the feast. So they flew in a specialist from Arizona halfway across the country to analyze what was going on with all the devotees. They flew a doctor in from Arizona. Yeah, sure enough, we had hepatitis and we were so sick. I remember, even drinking water. I mean, you felt so sick. My eyes were like yellow, just very yellow eyes. And even drinking water. You didn't want to drink water. You didn't want to eat anything. It was really, really heavy. But still, the temple, our GBC, Balavanta Prabhu, he insisted we all had to come to Mangalarti. So we just came, you know, we just got up out of our sleeping bags and just dragged ourselves down the stairs and just plopped against the wall in the temple room, you know, completely sick, propped against the wall, attending Mangalarti every day. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And of course, we all got recovered gradually. But it was a wonderful lesson for us how important it was to attend the Mangalarti. And so devotees in that temple, everyone would come to the programs. It was so wonderful atmosphere. And, you know, you had full-on attendance. Everybody was in the programs every day. It was a wonderful atmosphere. And then we had these kirtan leaders who were really fired up. And I used to call it the kirtan capital of ISKCON because it was like, wow. It's like the superstars, you know, the kirtan superstars. We had Vaishnavananda, Charadeshna, and Balabhadra Bhattacharya. And there was another devotee, I forget, he was gone when I was there. But these devotees were like, wow, these kirtans are just amazing. The kirtan was like piercing through the covering of the universe. It was so amazing. You were just like, your hairs would practically stand on end. They were so amazing kirtans, electrifying kirtans. It was just like, you would just feel like you were just cutting, you know, penetrating the coverings of the universe. They were so amazing. So it's a wonderful thing, you know, if devotees can, you know, sleep at another time of the day instead of the morning program, find a way to catch a nap later on if they need the extra rest. If somehow devotees can, you know, come get up for Mangalarti, come to the Guru Puja, and we can really bring this community together. There's so many devotees here. Why don't we all come together and do what Prabhupada wants us to do? And the beauty of that is, when you're actually doing what Prabhupada wants you to do, then guess what? You actually can feel how Prabhupada is with you at every minute. You can feel that connection with your spiritual master and with Srila Prabhupada, how they're actually present with you, they're seeing you, they're blessing you, they're guiding you. It's a mystical experience. Prabhupada said that we asked, well, Prabhupada, if you're not here, how can we get instructed? Can you preach to us from within our hearts? Prabhupada said, yes, if your heart is pure. So how do we become pure? We become pure by obeying the order of Srila Prabhupada to attend the morning programs. So if we do this, then we can actually feel that connection with Srila Prabhupada. We can actually feel how the acharyas, the mahajanas, are pouring their mercy upon us and blessing us and saving us from these material desires which are tormenting our hearts right now. So in this way, we're going to become qualified to actually come to this point of really, really pleasing the Vaishnava spiritual master. You see? I mean, that's a very, very exalted position where all of your desires are fulfilled. You can imagine, every desire I have is fulfilled. Just imagine how happy you'd be. Whatever desire I have, I get whatever I want all the time. Just imagine that state of consciousness. Well, that's the pure devotee. You see? That's the pure devotee. That's why I'm convinced that this movement will be successful. Because Prabhupada desired it to be successful. That's why I'm convinced this movement will be successful in delivering the whole world from nations. I'm convinced it will happen simply because Prabhupada desired it to happen. I'm convinced it will happen. So anyway, I can ask if there's any questions. Yes, Prabhu?
Prabhu, you specify that all our desires are filled. This means all the beneficial desires, is it? Just the desires that please in Krishna.
Vishnu Priya, can you help me?
He's saying that you said that all the desires are fulfilling just pleasing Krishna.
That means
all desires are filled means expectations.
He's saying that all the desires fulfilled are those that which beneficial for us in advancing Krishna consciousness, or all the desires.
If I understand the question correctly, this means all of one's desires, this one's desires beneficial for Krishna consciousness. Yeah. As I was explaining, this describes the heart of a pure devotee. It means one who is fully pleasing the Vaishnava spiritual master. The verse that helps us to understand this is Bhagavad Gita 9:22. Ananyas chintayantomang ye jana prayapasate tesham nityabhyuktanang yogachemam vaham yaham. Krishna says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. And Prabhupada explains that this means Krishna personally delivers to your door whatever you need. So this is talking about someone who only has one desire and one desire only, and that's to please Krishna. He's completely beyond desire for sense enjoyment. We also know there's other descriptions too. If someone wants to be a devotee but he's still holding on to material desires, Krishna rips away all his material attachments. That's another verse. So this is describing someone who is completely purified, who's worshiping Krishna exclusively. I have no love except for Krishna. All my love I previously had for my tongue, my belly, my genitals, my false ego, that love is now gone. My only love is Krishna. You see? My only love is Guru and Krishna and Vaishnavas. That's, when one reaches that position, he's completely, absolutely pure in that state. Then all his desires are fulfilled. Because he doesn't desire anything for sense gratification. All his desires are how to please Krishna in various ways. His only desire. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Prabhupada desired that every one of us come to the morning program. So why isn't that in place now? Why isn't it that in program?
Why is it not happening if Prabhupada desired it?
Why isn't Prabhupada's desire being fulfilled?
Why is not the desire not fulfilled?
Yeah. Because that...
Well, I'm determined that it will be fulfilled. That's why I'm pushing it. Now, I'll give you an example. I understand the point. Vishnu John Maharaj asked Prabhupada a question similar to this in the quarters in Los Angeles. That Prabhupada was saying, one Vaishnava can deliver the whole universe. It's that stated in the scriptures. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, I'm leaving with my work unfulfilled, unfinished. And Vishnu Dhammaraj was wanting to know, why did Bhaktivinoda say that? He said, that is his kindness. That he's leaving some unfinished, that gives us, that's our opportunity, you see. So that Prabhupada's desires are not completely fulfilled yet, that gives us an opportunity now to preach on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. You understand? They will be fulfilled. But it's up to us, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, now to... As Bhaktivinoda said, I left with my work unfinished. Prabhupada also left with his work unfinished. The whole world, the high court judges were not all wearing tilak when Prabhupada left the planet. So now we have our work to do. See that the pure devotees' desires are all fulfilled in due course of time. By distributing books, by Harinam Sankirtan, by first class... deity worship, by prasadam distribution, by cultivating pure bhakti within our own hearts, we are meant to live our lives in such a way that Prabhupada's desire that the whole world will be inundated with this Krishna consciousness movement, that ISKCON will be seen as the leading educational institution on this planet, that all the desires that Prabhupada had, it's our duty to make sure they become fulfilled. It's our duty. Yes.
And then all the individual devotees has an independence, whether to follow that or not. So minute independence is there. So they make their own choice whether to go to the morning program or not to go.
Yes.
So isn't that way also it works? For them, because there are so many individuals.
Of course. It's like in the spiritual world, everyone has free will, they're serving Krishna, but some, instead of wanting to serve Krishna, they think to be an independent. And then they come to this material world. So just like some people leave the spiritual world, some people don't come to the morning program. It's a similar thing. This is the spiritual world. Morning program is the spiritual world. So some choose not to be in the spiritual world. They'd rather be in the lap of Tamaguna. That's their choice. So whose lap do you want to be in? We all have that choice. I want to be in Maya's lap or Krishna's lap? We have a choice. Every morning we have a choice. Whose lap is nicer, Maya's lap or Krishna's? We can say, well, Krishna's lap is better. But if we're not here, if they're not telling the program, then we're obviously... We say one thing, but our heart is somewhere else, you see. I may say Krishna's lap is better, but my heart, I really feel that Maya's lap is better. And I prove it by my actions. So whose lap do you want to be? And every morning we're being tested. As I mentioned, some of you, I gave a little talk before the class also. In our Pune temple, it's really amazing. There's about 300 devotees living there, and every single devotee is at Mangal Arati every day. It's incredible energy. You wouldn't believe it. Oh my God, it's so wonderful. Oh, wow. It's amazing. You have to sign your name that you were there, like an attendance roster. Before the curtain opens, before the concha blows, you got to run and sign the attendance roster. Because if it's shown that you're not attending Mangal Arati, the authorities, you'll be called in to the authorities. I'm sure they have a way of dealing with it. They're very expert. The Arada Shambhava is very expert in management. Really expert in managing. So many devotees. And everyone's blissful. Everyone's smiling. There's wonderful loving exchanges going on all the time amongst all the devotees. It's this nectar. I usually go places where I have disciples, but who cares? I mean, the atmosphere is so... I just go there and just swim in the nectar of the Vaishnava Sangha. It's so wonderful there in our Pune temple. And, wow, it's amazing. Bhagavatam class, about 150 people at Bhagavatam. What, about 100? Bhagavatam class, about 150 maybe?
Yeah.
150 people, 250.
Maybe.
Huh?
Weekend is more, like 300.
Huh? 300 people for Bhagavatam class? Really sweet. And they have such an enlivened atmosphere there. They have Pune is a big place for educational institutions. So during the break, in the school break, they had Bhakti Yoga camp. They had a construction site where they're building a new temple. There's no building there yet, it's just a construction site. You know, the skeleton is there, but there's not really building yet. So they had a program for all the students. They were actually camping out, but just living out under the stars, you know, and sleeping on the grass. And they had about, how many boys? About 300 boys attending this Bhakti Yoga camp. 300. About 300 of them. And they were wearing dhotis and tilak. They're all dressed up like devotees. It was amazing. And they had me go there and give a lecture to them. And the system there is I have, you know, they write down the questions on a piece of paper like we do at some of the programs here. And I had this huge basket. I went on for 3 hours, I think, with that class. And it's just nonstop. You finally just say, okay, that's it. You know, we can't go anymore. That they want more, 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 more. They're so eager to hear. It's amazing. Really, really amazing. So I know it can be done. It's just a matter of desire and good management. It can be done. But the real thing is, what is your desire? See, do you have that fire of desire to achieve Krishna's lotus feet as soon as possible, or he'd rather take a few more lifetimes, you see. It's up to us. Yeah. How to deliver the suffering humanity.
Yeah. So if we cannot think about saving ourselves, so how can we think about saving others?
It's just like this. Somebody really wants to help the suffering, sick people of this world. So he thinks, I'm going to become a doctor. So he has to be trained. And a doctor has to have good hygiene. You know, if he's sick, he cannot treat the sick, you see. Because sickness isn't... Sickness means you can spread your sickness to someone else. A doctor has to be in first-class, good, healthy condition every day. He has to be very, very careful to always remain healthy. If he's sick, he cannot treat the sick. So, if one has that desire that I want to save the world, I want to save these poor souls from their suffering condition, then that person has to be in top-class Krishna-conscious condition. Even if he's not thinking of himself, he's thinking, for the sake of others, I have to become pure in my Krishna consciousness. Of course, the even a higher position is one should think of saving oneself, Prabhupada says. He says the most important thing is to save the world. Even more important is to save oneself. Then one disciple, they asked me, he said, Guru Maharaj, what should be your consciousness? Should I think of saving myself or saving the world, saving others? What should be my consciousness? I told him, well, from 3 in the morning till 9 in the morning, save yourself. And from 9 in the morning till 9 at night, save the world. That's how your consciousness should be. During that morning hour, you're focusing on saving yourself. You got yourself in good hygiene, good pure. Now the rest of the day, you know, save others, save the world. So if we don't have our own good morning sadhana, you see, good first-class sadhana, then how we can think that we can do something for someone else? You see. Any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, what is the difference between doing a sadhana alone in my own room with my deities and doing sadhana with the devotees here in the temple?
What is the difference if I'm doing my sadhana with my deities at home and doing the sadhana with the association of the devotees?
Yes, the difference is your deities at home will give you back what you offered them. And these deities here won't. These deities here take away whatever you offer to them. The deities at home give it back. So, to cultivate pure selflessness, this deity worship is better than home deity worship. Home deity worship is recommended for those who live at a great distance from the temple. For those who live in the temple community, deity worship is not recommended. Home deity worship is not recommended by Srila Prabhupada. He recommends those who are living in the community should just worship these deities, and they shouldn't do separate worship. That was Prabhupada's recommendation. Of course, some simple little thing one could do for training the children, that's good. But the difficulty is that it should be very simple so you can attend the full program here. If you're doing home puja and neglecting this worship here, it's not a very good thing. Because this worship, this will help us come to completely the platform of pure selflessness. Home worship, whatever you offer, you get it back. And this worship, you don't get it back. It's a difference.
And isn't that the association? In the association of the devotee, it is more powerful.
And just like kirtan and sankirtan, the more we come together, there's shakti. So the more we can do things together as a spiritual family, you see, then we get more. United we stand and united we fall. One stick can easily be broken, but a bundle of sticks cannot be broken. So the more we come together as a family and do everything together. I know my godbrother Balabhadra Bhattacharya, that he's still there in Atlanta after all these years, still leading the most incredible kirtans. Anyway, It's mostly a householder community. There are devotees living away in Atlanta. Many devotees live at a great distance from the temple. So he has once a month, he has what's he called Super Saturday, where he has everyone comes for the whole morning program. Once a month, Super Saturday, you know, Mangal Arati, Tulsi worship, Bhagavatam. He just packs them in. In other words, not just on Sunday afternoon everyone comes. Try having once a month Super Saturday where everybody comes together, all the householders from all the whole Auckland area. You have a Super Saturday. Then maybe you could have a Hari Nam after it, after the morning program. A really nice and super duper breakfast, the best, and you know, really crank it up in the kitchen. Have a great morning program, a great breakfast, and then go out and have an ecstatic Hari Nam once a month, Super Saturday. Something to think about. Huh?
Once a week.
Well, but thing is, you got to establish once a month very strongly, and then think. And then you do that, you can expand from there. If you try to make it every week, it's harder to mobilize.
I'm talking about Vallabhadra Bhattacharya Prabhu. He's doing once a week.
Who?
Vallabhadra.
No, it's once a month. Super Saturday is once a month. That's why it's called Super Saturday. It's not. Just, it's once a month he's doing it, not once a week. It's a fact. You can double check with him. It is once a month. I agree it should be once a week. But Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he's very practical. He knows what he can expect the householders to do. And once a month is more practical than once a week. If it's once a week, it becomes sort of thing, oh, it's Super Saturday, now I have to get up in my life. No. But once a month, oh, it's Super Saturday. Wow. He's very practical. It should be every day, I mean, you know. But anyway, start somewhere and expand, you know. It's like getting your, like in World War II, in the South Pacific here, you know, the U.S. was battling it out with the Japanese, you know. The first thing you do is you get a little beachhead on the island. They're the same thing in D-Day in Normandy Beach, you know. You know, it's like an impossible thing to penetrate Hitler's defenses there along the French coast. An impossible thing to penetrate. How you'll ever do it? But if you can even just storm in there and get just a few feet on the beach, and then just storm a little bit more, and a little, and that way you work your way in. You see. So if we can just get a little bit, establish a little bit. Something very, very solid, like a Super Saturday once a month. And then get that really, really strong and fired up and mobilized. And the devotees start begging, can we do this twice a month? I mean, this is so nectarian. Can we do it twice a month? You see? In this way, gradually, gradually, gradually. So, anything else? Yes?
Maharaj, you said about the attitude of the devotee should be gratefulness and indebtedness to the spiritual masters. So, please describe that attitude of gratitude and indebtedness.
Devotee should have an attitude of gratitude towards the spiritual master and the devotees.
They should or they do?
They should.
Yes.
So,
how can they get it? Oh, what is that? What should be that proper attitude of gratitude towards Guru and Vaishnavas? That's the question.
Describe how the devotee behaves if he has the attitude of gratitude.
Can you describe that? What is attitude of gratitude?
What is it? Yasha prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasha prasada nagati kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one makes spiritual advancement. Without his grace, gets the mercy of Krishna. Without his grace, no one can make any advancement. So, as Bhaktivinoda says, Gurudev, your mercy is all that I'm made of. So, if one has the actual proper understanding, one would realize that I'm nowhere. It's like the Beatles said that song, Nowhere Man. You know, I'm a real, he's a real nowhere man. We're nowhere, you see. We're nowhere. But by the grace of the spiritual master, we've been brought to this, to from animal existence to the human existence. We've been saved from the animal existence of repetition of birth and death. So how much we can never have enough gratitude, because the spiritual master and the devotees, they saved us, you see. I just think about devotees that helped me. And the first devotee who preached to me was Makanlal Prabhu, who is now, he just got sannyas, he has a new name. My godbrother Makanlal, now the Maharaj name, whatever it is, I forget. But I just think of those devotees who actually took the time and trouble to try to convince me to take up this pathway. Chitsukananda also, in Berkeley. And of course Vishnu Janaswami and those who were working were with him also. So I just think about all the mercy that devotees gave me, that it wasn't, had been for that kindness, I'd just be completely lost in the cycle of birth and death, going down to the animal kingdom in the next birth. So if one doesn't have an attitude of gratitude, one is just, there's a word for it, an English word, ingrate. He's an ingrate. An ungrateful person is called an ingrate. An ingrate means he's a very selfish person. He just wants to take, doesn't want to give in return. That's a miserly consciousness, kripana. In English slang, the Sanskrit word kripana has manifested as the word creep. He's a real creep. We say in America, I don't know if they say that in New Zealand. Is that a saying in New Zealand also? Yeah, the guy's a real creep. Yeah, it actually comes from the Sanskrit, a creepin' him. So one who doesn't have an attitude of gratitude, he's a creep. He's a creepin' him. He's an ingrate. He takes, but he doesn't want to reciprocate. So one who doesn't reciprocate love, he doesn't actually feel the love. If you want to feel love, you have to give love. You can't experience love unless you give love. So a person doesn't want to give love, he can never really taste love. And if you don't really taste love, you're just going to, all you can do is go for sense gratification. You can't get you can't experience the loving relationship with devotees, the loving relationship with guru. There's no way you can have loving relationship with Krishna. If you do worship Krishna, it'll just be to fulfill your material desires. So unless we can actually learn how to feel an attitude of gratitude towards devotees and the spiritual masters, then we, who are the leaders of the devotees, then we can never really love Krishna and have a proper loving exchange with Krishna either. So we have to understand the absolute necessity of developing this ability to have loving feelings expressed in thoughts, words, and deeds with devotees. That's absolutely essential for our spiritual lives, because without that, there's no way we can ever be happy. We'll never be happy. So it's a matter of feeling, and feeling actually good about this devotee, not just making a show of being respectful, but actually appreciating that devotee within your heart. Appreciating the good qualities of that devotee. That's where it begins. We have to appreciate the devotees. Should always see the good qualities of the devotees, even if they have so many bad qualities. And we all have bad qualities, let's face it. We should see the good qualities, the wonderful qualities of the devotees. Always appreciate how the wonderful qualities. Prabhupada explains like that. He says everybody has a combination of good qualities and bad qualities. He said devotee, he is like the honeybee. He just wants to see the good. The non-devotee, he is like fly. He just wants to go for the sower, you see. If you have a sower on your arm, the flies will all come, you see. Where is the sower? Where is the sower? Let me land on your sower, you see. So, if we are looking for sores, I keep looking, yeah, this devotee has that fault, that devotee has that fault. Then we are not devotee. We are karmi. We are avaishnava. The one who is always seeing, oh, this person has this nice quality, that person has that nice quality. The Prabhupada, his expertise was, even in the most degraded person, he could see some wonderful good quality. And he could encourage that good quality. He could see that spark of bhakti in the heart even of a very degraded, fallen person. And he could fan that spark into a blazing fire of Krishna consciousness. So in this way, we have to always see the wonderful good qualities in the devotees, even if they're very, very deeply beneath so many bad habits and so many bad mentalities. We have to see the wonderful good quality within the heart of that Vaishnava and give all encouragement and blessings, well wishes to that person to help them to awaken their dormant Krishna consciousness. So if I really love you, then I'm going to serve you. You understand? Understand? Love means, if I really love you, that means I want to serve you. I want to help you to become happy. That's if I really love you, you see. So that has to be our mood. We should always feel compassion and always want to serve others by helping them to be more and more happy in Krishna consciousness. Does that answer your question a little bit? Okay. I think we should stop here unless there's some other burning question here. Someone has to ask it. Yeah. Does it mean what? About Mangalarti?
We will be attending.
Yes, that's how we show our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. I mean, my body would rather sleep. But I've been, you know, this body is a lump of ignorance, as we say in the prasadam. The body would rather just lay there and sleep. It doesn't feel like getting out of bed, you know, the body or the mind. But because I'm grateful to what Prabhupada has done for me, how he has given his whole life to save me and save others. Therefore, because I'm grateful to Srila Prabhupada, even though I don't want to get up oftentimes, I get up. Of course, gradually we actually want to get up as we make progress. We develop a taste. So that taste is coming now, after 40 years. But still, to get to this point where the taste comes, you have to just do it, even though you don't want to do it. Even though you don't want to get up from Mangalarti, you have to get up, because this, you have to show Prabhupada you appreciate, because Prabhupada said he wants us all to attend Mangalarti, so you have to do it to please Prabhupada, even though you may not want to do it. But then by doing that, because you're grateful what Prabhupada has given to me. Therefore, you begin to get taste. It gradually comes. You wouldn't dream of missing Mangalarti. It'd be like, if you miss Mangalarti, it'd be like the end of the world. Like the whole world comes to an end. A big cataclysm. It become like that. You become so attached to it. You know, the earth goes out of orbit. I miss Mangalarti, now the earth went out of orbit. You know, it's like that. It'd be that much emotionally devastating to miss Mangalarti. If you keep going faithfully, you become so attached to it. You couldn't dream of not having Mangalarti. Anything else? If you're at home, you can do Mangalarti at home. If you're living at a distance, you can have even if it's a simple dubarti. You're very busy schedule, you have to get to leave for the office, get out in the traffic early in the morning. That's all right. Even for 5 minutes, you can offer a dubarti and go through the Gravastakam prayers in unison. Just one time, you know, without any repeating. Just say it one time through in unison with no repeats. In 5 minutes, you can do a dubarti in 5 minutes. And even if you're in a super, super busy schedule, anyone can spare 5 minutes. to go through to sing their Gavastakam prayers and offer a Dupati at home if they're not living near the temple. It'll make a big difference in your consciousness. Mangal means auspicious. So if you observe Mangal Arti, your day will be auspicious. And Vishana, if you know the ninth prayer of the Gavastakam? You know that ninth prayer? The ninth prayer of Gavastakam, of course it's eight, but there's an add-on prayer, the ninth prayer by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says, anyone who will sing this prayer during the Brahma Muhurta, they will achieve, at the time of death, they will achieve the direct service of Lord Sri Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. That's a benediction from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So if you would like to go to sleep at the end of this lifetime and wake up in Krishna's pastimes with a service in the direct service of Krishna in the spiritual world, then I recommend that you come to Mangal Arti every day. And because I guarantee you, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's benediction is potent, it's not dead, it works. If you do it, you'll get it. Come to Mangal Arti every day, and you'll go to sleep, and you'll wake up right there, you know, a gopi, a gopa. You'll have some action, you'll actually be there in Krishna's Leela. But if we want to sleep, well, I don't guarantee you. I'm saved by my Guru's mercy. Oh, come on, that's Christianity. I can do whatever I want because I got Jesus saved me. No. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean I can do whatever I want because my Guru Maharaj will save me. No. If you want to be saved by your Guru Maharaj, you've got to do your part. You have to follow the principles of sadhana bhakti. Some people are preaching raganuga bhakti. But Prabhupada didn't go around preaching raganuga bhakti. If you really have raganuga, you'll have perfect sadhana. If you really have raganuga, your sadhana will be flawless sadhana. Say, well, I don't have to do sadhana because I'm on the raganuga stage now. Some people think like that. I don't have to do sadhana. I'm raganuga bhakta. I don't have to do all these rules and regulations. I'm raganuga bhakta. Well, I'm sorry, if you're really a raganuga, your sadhana will be pakka, flawless sadhana, to show those of us who are not, those of us struggling neophytes who are not raganugis, you will show us by your example, raganuga bhakta, and you'll be the best sadhana bhakta, raganuga bhakta, you see. In this way, we have to understand. So don't be carried away by someone who wants to tell you, give you, you know, Siddha Pranali, that you are such and such gopi in Krishna's pastimes. And now don't worry about all these rules and regulations. Just meditate on your rasa with Krishna as such and such manjari. There was one hippie girl who went to Radhakunda. She met one Babaji who told her who she was in Krishna's pastimes. And she was there with a hippie boy. They're having illicit sex every night in Radhakunda, if you can imagine the offensive nature. And then she went over to Vrindavan and got initiated by one sannyasi, Narayan Maharaj, who gave her initiation. So, but she thought she knew who she was in Krishna's pastime. So she was qualified because... So we have to avoid this kind of sahajism. That one can just jump, you know, leave aside the principles of sadhana and be an advanced devotee. Doesn't work. It does not work. It will not work. It'll never work. We have to become very, very fixed in sadhana, and then we can achieve the perfectional stage. So anyway, we'll stop here. And we thank you all very much. We're heading out today for South America. Do some preaching there in a few countries, and we thank you all very much for your wonderful loving kindness. In many ways you've touched our hearts by your wonderful loving kindness, and we can never forget you for your wonderful mercy that you've shown us. So we hope we haven't been too offensive here, stepped on too many toes in trying to encourage you in your progress. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.